Welcome to the Leader's Notebook with Dr. Mark Rutland. Dr. Rutland is a world-renowned leadership expert. He is a New York Times best-selling author, and he has served as the president of two universities. The Leader's Notebook is brought to you by Global Servants. For more information about Global Servants, please visit our website, globalservants.org. Here is your host, Dr. Mark Rutland.
The Leader's Notebook today is a little bit different. I'm giving you an insight into my newest book, Keep On Keeping On, How to Die Young as Old as Possible. I want to discuss it with you a little bit and maybe even read a little bit of an excerpt. It's so exciting. I'm delighted with this book. I've given my heart to it. It's funny. It's lighthearted, a breezy look at aging gracefully. Dr. Henry Cloud, the world-renowned psychologist, read it, and he said, let me quote, "This is a way to laugh your way to longevity." And that's what I want for you. I want you to laugh your way to longevity, and I hope that you enjoy this book and that you enjoy this little excerpt. I want to give you this special invitation, though, on November the 18th at 7 p.m. at Mount Perrin Church of God Central in Atlanta, November the 18th at 7 p.m. will be the national premiere for this book, and you're invited to attend. It's going to be a great night. We'll have lots of fun, some giveaways and door prizes. There'll be some great music by Stan Whitmire and Mark Blankenship. Now, who should attend? It's an exclusive event that we're calling for mature audiences only. That doesn't mean senior citizens. It means mature audiences only. If you've never seen a hula hoop, if you have no idea what a slinky is, and if you're not 100% convinced that Elvis Presley was greater than Taylor Swift, you may not know what's going on. But you're invited. We want to see you there. This is the national premiere, and you're going to love it. It's going to be a great night. November the 18th, Mount Perrin Church of God Central at 7 p.m. Keep on keeping on. How to die young as old as possible. The next three episodes of The Leader's Notebook are going to be, without a doubt, the most unusual and different of anything I've ever recorded for The Leader's Notebook. I felt like I should start with something like Monty Python's And Now for Something Entirely Different. I'm going to be talking to you about my new book. You can pre-order it on the website, drmarkrutland.com, and I urge you to get it. The name of the book is Keep On Keeping On, How to Die Young as Old as Possible. Obviously, from that title, it's not going to be the most serious book that you've ever read. In fact, it's written with humor, and I think that you will enjoy it. I sent the book, the manuscript, some months ago to a friend of mine who's a very well-known psychologist, and I said, I just want to make sure that I haven't written anything that will make anybody worse. And he texted me back immediately, and he said, Dr. Rutland, this book makes me laugh, and there's nothing unhealthy about that. In fact, isn't that true? A merry heart doeth good like medicine. That's what the Bible says. And so I urge you to get this book, Keep On Keeping On, How to Die Young as Old as Possible. I urge you to get it and take your medicine like a big boy or a big girl. Let me try to explain some of the main purpose of the book and who it's intended for. It's obviously intended for a mature audience. It is a book about aging gracefully and dealing with all of the realities that that is, and doing it in a humorous and lighthearted way. It's not a book I could have written in my youth, because a young person doesn't understand what it's like to be in your 60s or 70s or 80s. But now that I'm in my 70s, and still at this very recording, healthy and energetic and still working hard, then it's a book I could write, and it's a book from my heart and my experience now, and I just want you and every reader that reads Keep On Keeping On to enjoy every moment of it. Now, I deal with the reality of aging. I don't usually do this, but I want to read to you the first two paragraphs of the book, just so you can get a sense of where it's going. And so here it is from chapter 1, page 1, paragraph 1, line 1, keep on keeping on. There is a tree behind our house, which if it were to fall would crush everything in its extensive fall zone. This massive oak, as sturdy as it is, as seemingly unlikely to topple over as it appears, poses an ever-present threat simply because it is there. Yet seldom, in fact almost never, do I think about the potential disaster inherent in its presence. The tree is there, that's all. That is the issue with old age for most of our lives. From the moment we are born, we begin to age, and for that matter, to die. Old age, with all its ravages, is our inevitable calamity. The tree in the yard. Yet we do not obsess over it. We cannot live that way. We live in its lengthening shade and ignore, or try to ignore, the looming lethal possibility. The thing which has beset the elderly widow down the street, that which has so obviously hijacked her younger self, if ever she had one, that dreadful thing will never fall on us. Never. We are exempt. Well, that's the first two paragraphs of the book, and I hope it teases you to get the rest of it. I start with that serious or more serious note that our youth, we live in some level of denial. We just cannot project as a young person. We can't project ourselves. We don't know what it will feel like to be 60 or 70 or 80. We don't know what it'll feel like physically or emotionally. And we see older people who are experiencing some of the things that go with aging, and we simply grant ourselves an exemption. We just feel that it won't happen for us. It, whatever it is that happened to those poor old people, will not happen to us. We do the same thing with all kinds of things. We drive past car crashes on the freeways of life, and we know that the wrecked cars and the wrecked bodies we can see looked like ours only split seconds before the disaster. But we do not drive on in unbearable dread that the same catastrophe will meet us just ahead. There are crashes and deaths and tragedies. Those things happen. But we are exempt because, well, we've decided we're exempt. The young still live in the frail and fleeting deception of a self-granted exemption about age. The young are bulletproof. They not only think they will live forever, they think they will live forever young. They will not age as we have done. They may not age at all, or if they do, it will somehow be different for them. For us, their elders, the exemption has already proven to be a hopeless myth. We already live in a world full of mirrors, and the face that stares back at us is ours. Our first reaction is, that cannot be me. And yet it is, and I am a shocking reality to myself. Therein lies the great advantage of age over youth. We can remember being young and how wonderful it felt to be exempt. They, on the other hand, do not believe old age will ever befall them. They cannot imagine it. In fact, they dare not imagine it. They simply couldn't stand the reality. They're exempt. Even if they could envision the future and know what they would be like as older people, God's grace would shield it from their inner eyes. If the average teenager got even a glimpse of himself or herself at 80, the nightmare would prove too much for them. That is why the young often seem so angry at the elderly. We scare the living daylights out of them. The very thought, the very hint of a thought. No, no, it's too horrible to contemplate. The exemption is real, they think. I am certain it is. I know it is. Likewise, that is why the young make us so angry. They remind us of our own sweet delusion of which we have been so utterly despoiled. We see in them all our lost yesterdays. and it makes us want to shake them and scream, "Don't you see what you're doing, you dumb little twit? You're wasting it." So we stare, or rather glare, at each other across a fixed and uncrossable gulf. We cannot go back to where they are, and by the time they get to where we are, we will have gone, well, elsewhere. In public speaking, hardly anything delights me quite so much as to pick out some slim, attractive young couple and speak directly to them in front of the whole audience. "How old are you?" I ask them. 28, he answers, as if this is a perfectly reasonable age to be. 26, she chirps merrily, oblivious to the humiliation that I'm about to inflict on them both. "Look up here, son," I tell him. "Look at me. I am your future. As you are, so once was I. As I am, you soon will be." Delighting myself now in his half-hearted and embarrassed and slightly frightened laughter, I drive the dagger deeper. If you live long enough, someday you will look like me. "Go on, take hold of the hair at your hairline," I tell him. "Wiggle it back and forth. Now say, bye-bye." Of course, the whole audience laughs. I wait for that to die down, and I say, "Now you, young lady, do me a favor. Run your finger over your lip. Isn't that soft?" And then I look in her eyes and say, "Haven't you figured it out? The hair that falls out of his head will grow in your lip." The crowd's roar of laughter, especially raucous amidst those over 50, is a joy to any public speaker. There's nothing as wonderful as the delicious look of horror on that young bride's face as everybody around her is laughing. After a moment, the young couple comfort themselves. They laugh a little bit self-consciously, and then I can actually see it. I see them shake it off. I can actually see them shrug their slim young shoulders and smile at each other reassuringly. Their eyes twinkle in a silent and private message of hope. "Ha ha," they telepathically communicate with each other. "He's only kidding. How droll. A dash of humor in the lecture. Ha ha. What a funny little joke he played on us." The split second of reality that they experienced when I was talking rolls off them like spilt spaghetti off a plastic seat cover, and their exemption clicks back into place. This new book that I've written, Keep On Keeping On, How to Die Young as Old as Possible, probably won't be any use to them, none whatsoever, at least not now. No mere book can penetrate the iron curtain of a self-granted exemption. This book is for those of us who have stepped out from behind the impenetrable veil of comforting delusion and into a new reality, which is not new and is not suddenly real. It was never not real. Age and aging, like the tree in our yard, was always there. We just ignored it. We were sure it would never fall on us. Now that it has, we have to deal with it. When everything, literally everything, hurts, at least some of the time. When menus are all faintly printed in blurred font, distinguishable only in blazing light. When every trip to the grocery store is a challenging adventure, which ends in the reality that we forgot at least three items, which we also forgot to write on the list, which we also left at home so that we would not forget them. When such is our daily lot, we can no longer live in the precious delusion. We are what we never thought we would be. This book is not really for the young. In fact, you probably shouldn't let them read it. They cannot bear it. This book is for those who now see that the good night is just around the bend. This book is for those who know the dying of the light is not a poignant literary device invented by some long-ago Welsh poet. It is their day-to-day reality. They have stumbled, sometimes, literally, onto the truth. They are not nor were they ever exempt. They were merely deluded, and the loss of that delusion is a severe dose of reality. What should we say then? Shall we rage against the dying of the light? What good would that do? Some who think they are raging against the dying of the light are merely angry at their doctor because he is the age of their grandchildren and cannot make all the pain go away. No longer in possession of a self-granted delusion, they assume in its place a self-granted permission to be angry, to rage not at the dying of the light, but at the loud and careless youths who are not arthritic, whose temporary happiness is unbearably irritating. A man in his 70s thinks he is raging at the dying of the light when he screams at the kid next door for daring to chase his errant baseball into the yard. He fancies himself an eccentric rebel, a curmudgeonly old James Dean, but he is actually nothing but an overgrown version of Kevin's big brother in Home Alone. A waspish 60-something businesswoman berates and humiliates her young male assistant. She thinks she is a strong leader, a woman undaunted by age and transcending gender. She thinks she's Ruth Ginsburg, raging against the glass ceiling through which she views the dying of the light. In fact, she's just a petty devil with no Prada to her name. Living the last years of our lives as angry, aging tyrants is not God's will for our lives. The mere children who work at the AT&T store trying to fix our phones as if that were possible, as irritating and condescending as they may be, are not themselves the dying of the light. Raging against them is not a glorious refusal to go gentle into that good night. It is just ugly, undisciplined, and self-indulgent. This book is about approaching age with joy and laughter. I can't make your knee not hurt. I can't make your hips work better than they do. I can't make you ignore the fact that sometimes you're a little more forgetful than you want to be. What I can do, and what I hope to do, is to help you learn to laugh at life and at yourself. Do you remember the old comedy routines on television where somebody was always playing that goofy old guy that shuffled around and said funny things or ran into things? Do you remember those? Remember how we used to laugh? Now we are that person. Now part of that is our lives, and it's still funny. We've got to learn to laugh at ourselves and at the calamity of age and to approach it with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The joy of the Lord hasn't disappeared from my life just because I've reached my middle 70s. What I want in this book is to help people rejoice in the Lord no matter what aging has done, and to help them laugh. There's some really funny things in this book. Accounts from my early years in little country churches where I met some of the most charming and really funny people in the whole world. I hope you enjoy this book. You can pre-order it on the website, drmarkrutland.com. I love you. God bless you. Remember, age doesn't have to make us angry. We can keep on keeping on, keep on giving, keep on laughing, keep on rejoicing. Keep on laughing at ourselves and laughing at the calamity which we call age. I hope this book will be a blessing to you. And I hope that you'll write me later, just like my psychiatrist friend, and say, Dr. Rutland, you made me laugh. Laughter is good medicine. Order this book. Keep on keeping on how to die young as old as possible. And take your medicine like a big boy or a big girl. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this little excerpt and some commentary on my newest book, Keep On Keeping On, How to Die Young as Old as Possible. Now, just before we wrap up the Leader's Notebook for today, I want to remind you that you're invited to the national book premiere of this funny, charming book. I just know you're going to love it, at Mount Perrin Church of God Central, November the 18th, 7 p.m. We're going to have a blast. See you then. God bless you. Keep on keeping on.
You've been listening to The Leader's Notebook with Dr. Mark Rutland. You can follow Dr. Rutland on X at Dr. Mark Rutland or visit his website, drmarkrutland.com, where you can find information about his materials and his app. Join us next week for another episode of The Leader's Notebook.